Today, the Trump administration is resurrecting a Reagan-era rule that bans groups from receiving federal funds if they provide abortions, share space with someone who does, or even discuss abortions. Lawsuits challenging the move are expected.
Meanwhile, there's been another school shooting, this one in Santa Fe, Texas, outside Houston. Multiple fatalities being reported. Let's bring in our Friday roundtable, and joining us today, it's Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC. Hi, Beth.
How are you doing?
Doing well. And Abby Phillip, White House correspondent for CNN. Hi, Abby.
Hello. Happy Friday.
Yeah, you too. Not really. But not such a happy Friday right now in Texas, it sounds like. This school shooting, which at this point is not all that surprising anymore, but heartbreaking nonetheless, and not so long after the one in Parkland, Florida, that did not spur Congress to take any action on gun control. Here's President Trump at the White House this morning.
My administration is determined to do everything in our power to protect our students, secure our schools, and to keep weapons out of the hands of those who pose a threat to themselves and to others.
Beth, when you hear him say that, you wonder, then why hasn't he done anything really on gun control to stop these shootings?
Well, when you think about what happened in the wake of the Parkland shooting, President Trump did seem to indicate at some point that he would be open to at least looking at current gun laws and whether there was some way to make some adjustments that would not get in the way of Second Amendment rights and yet would perhaps take guns away from people who should not have them, perhaps ramp up some background checks. He just mused publicly. He also had a summit with people who had been affected by gun violence, very famously at the White House, that was televised. But when all was said and done, even after all that musing, he basically reverted to the NRA position, which was let's have more guns. He talked about arming teachers. He said that the issue was mental health. It's not the preponderance of guns. And just last week, he spoke at the NRA convention where he said Second Amendment rights are paramount. So it's hard to see how anything's going to change much, even in light of this recent tragedy, today's tragedy.
And Abby, I don't know if you want to weigh in on this. Again, NPR is going to be following this story all day. We have reports of multiple fatalities at Santa Fe High School, a shooter who, according to reports, has been apprehended. According to reports, a law enforcement officer on the scene was clipped. I mean, so there was somebody there, but he was shot and being treated. Most of the fatalities are reported to be students. What do you hear?
Yeah, well, I think this president has been all over the place on the issue of guns in schools and school shootings. And it was interesting to hear him say what he said this morning, because he seemed to use some of the language that we might have heard from President Obama in the past, saying this happens too often in our country. Everything in our power that we can do, we're going to do. But at the same time, as Beth just pointed out, the president hasn't really done anything at all. And in fact, he has often given some lip service to the idea of doing more when he's faced with victims or advocates. And then there's a phone call from the NRA or an Oval Office meeting from the representatives of gun rights groups, and the president will revert back to those positions. This White House has not wanted to lead on this issue, in part because it's just not a good one for him politically. But at the same time, you have to wonder sometimes where the president's actual views are on this, because I think you find him sometimes in his most candid moments expressing a desire to do more, but being unwilling to do it when push comes to shove in terms of policy for political reasons.
What about the other big story from the White House today, the move to reinstate the Reagan-era regulation known as the gag rule, blocking abortion providers from receiving federal funds? It's clearly targeted at Planned Parenthood. There's already a decades-old law that prohibits federal tax dollars for abortions. Is this, Beth, just about playing to Trump's base right now ahead of the midterms, or is this about changing policy?
Well, it's certainly in the short term about playing to the base. As you know, the efforts throughout this year to defund Planned Parenthood in some way just never went anywhere. It was supposed to be defunded or largely defunded through the attempt to repeal Obamacare in the Congress. And of course, those attempts were not successful. So Planned Parenthood was not affected at all by the plans around the Obamacare repeal. And then this omnibus budget that was passed a few weeks ago in Congress, it contains millions, millions and millions of dollars for Planned Parenthood. So there has been nothing done to push back on Planned Parenthood, which is, of course, a big bogeyman among social conservatives. And President Trump has been feeling some pressure that this is something that they want to see done. Evangelicals, conservative Christians, as we know, are some of President Trump's most fervent supporters. And they've been shown a willingness to sort of ignore the fact that he is allegedly has paid off a porn star. I mean, basically not the president of perhaps the greatest moral character in the world, in exchange for doing what they want him to do in terms of policy. And so this is very much in the wheelhouse of those social conservatives who feel it's time to really clamp down on abortion providers, Planned Parenthood in particular.
Well, but Abby, let's be clear. Planned Parenthood gets almost all of its federal funding largely through Medicaid and Title X for low-income people, reimbursements for medical care, things like screening and birth control. There is, as Jeremy said, already a law that prohibits those federal tax dollars from crossing over into abortions.
That's absolutely right. And that's why this is so much of an attempt by this White House to signal to the base that they're making some efforts on an important issue that's symbolically very important. I think right now conservatives view Planned Parenthood as being willing to kind of defiantly provide abortion services in the face of a desire among Republicans to restrict the sort of federal footprint on that issue, and also just to restrict abortions more generally. You know, the White House at this point understands that on the policy, they are probably not going to actually move the needle that much. But this is about November. This is about making sure that every single potential Republican voter is out there, is energized, that they can say that not only the president can say, but that Republicans more generally can say that under a Republican regime, they've made progress on some of these foundational mm-hmm. issues and that they ought to support Republican candidates at the ballot box in November. It's all about that, essentially. And I have no doubt that this will be challenged in the courts, but I think that's almost beside the point. I think this White House understands that there will be challenges. Maybe this won't even survive, but mm-hmm. it's important to show that they're doing something, that they're working on it.
Perhaps the most consequential move of the week was President Trump's decision to move the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on the day of the 70th anniversary of Israel's founding, or as the Palestinians see it, Nakba, or catastrophe. There were 60 Palestinians killed by Israeli fire. Now worries about the U.S.'s credibility as a broker of peace. Beth, how is this being viewed in Washington? What are the concerns?
Well, that was a split screen that the president and his team definitely did not want. The smiles at the embassy opening earlier this week, paired with those terrible scenes of violence out of Gaza. And the White House obviously was questioned many times about this and laid blame on the violence to the Hamas group there that is so influential and guides so much in Gaza. But it comes back to short-term politics in many ways for this White House. The base in the form of Christian conservatives are some of the most ardent supporters of Israel in this country, and they are some of the most ardent supporters of President Trump. So this is something that he very much wanted to do in
even
a way
if it could cause a war in the Middle East.
Well, and it's unclear whether we can go to so far to say that one caused the other, but he's been quite determined to do this for quite some time, and in his mind and in the views of his advisors, he's making good on a promise that has been out there for quite some time. So they will very much resist the notion that anything the president did fomented this violence in Gaza, that this was just a long-planned decision and something that he executed, and it was something that his supporters very much wanted.
Look, there's another thing that happened this week. Oh, yes, it was the year anniversary of the Mueller investigation into possible collusion on the part of the Trump campaign with the Russians interfering with the election. Rudy Giuliani did a 45-minute interview with Chris Cuomo just today on CNN, and Giuliani claimed that even though Special Counsel Mueller has narrowed the scope of questions he might ask the president if the president sits for those questions, Giuliani says it will not be wise for Trump to sit for those questions. Let's listen.
He didn't talk to Russians. He had nothing to do with Russia. He is as surprised about the Russian connection as you would be.
And why won't he just sit down and say that?
Because you've got people that are going to ask him questions about what did you say to him, what did you say to him, and you got right. Comey coming forward who will lie. They believe Comey rather than look. It's like Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart never would have gone to jail if she hadn't gone and testified. What do you think? We're
she
stupid?
She lied.
A little point there made by Chris Cuomo that that is why she went to jail, because she lied. Just in the minute we have, Abby, where are we on the president sitting or not sitting?
It sounds like Giuliani is trying to telegraph that the president might actually do this, but they're trying another path, which is also more generally undermining the credibility of the Mueller investigation. They believe that no matter what Mueller finds, he can't indict the president because of existing DOJ rules, and that they can go in a court of politics, essentially, and go head to head with Mueller and undermine his credibility with the American people. I think Giuliani is conceding a lot of things right now. He's conceding perhaps that the president might be caught in perjury if he were to be interviewed. But he's also saying it doesn't matter because Mueller essentially can't indict him for any kind of crimes and that they were willing to fight this in the court of public opinion.
It's Abby Phillip, White House correspondent for CNN, and Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having us.